I've been thinking about this all afternoon.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Where are we at tomorrow? Willowbrook? Hey, I like that. I like that Buffalo Wild Wings over there. We have a good time over there. That one's nice and dimly lit like the others, but I enjoyed that one. Little thirsty Thursday coming up tomorrow. Right off Tomball Parkway. If you need the address, it's 17195 Tomball Parkway in Houston, 77064. So no excuse for your tail not to be out there. So come hang out with us.
Find you a few more
tomorrow,
excuses.
Little thirsty Thursdays tomorrow, Buffalo Wild.
Also, Ron, if they can't make it tomorrow, East River 9 on Friday for little Football Friday.
That's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, man. Hey, by the way, in the giveaways at Buffalo Wild Wings, Thirsty Thursday, Bud Light, and the giveaways, the tickets, the coolers, the gift cards, it just seems like the list keeps growing and growing. So if not only are you coming out to enjoy the drive, but there are some fabulous giveaways that are going on throughout the show as well.
Yeah, but mostly to enjoy the drive. So come hang out with
Absolutely.
Us tomorrow and the next couple of days. Tomorrow, Tomball Parkway, Willowbrook, right over there by Willowbrook Mall on the other side of the highway. And
the drive is live.
That's right. Friday, East River 9. Go, it should be a nice weather to go play 9. Go play a little pickleball. Come hang out with us.
I'm playing some golf on Sunday. It's going to be nice out there. This
What
weather,
about
man.
Friday?
Friday, I will be here in studio keeping you boys on the air.
I thought you guys were going to, like, interact again, like you guys are going to play.
Well, we could play before the show.
Listen, whatever. It's not happening. come hang out with us the next couple of days as the drive will be live on the road. Come with us. I wonder where people stand on this one, because I would say, Clint, Tyler, how many times would you say through the first 6 weeks the Texans are 5-1? How many times do you say C.J. Stroud has had to be the best player on the field? I don't think there are many times. The Colts, I think that was about Joe Mixon. Chicago, I think that was about D'Amico and the defense and the pressure they got on Caleb Williams.
Yep.
The game against
Minnesota,
the Vikings was just nobody was good.
If there is one, it's got to be the Bills game, right?
To me, it was about the defense, Bills games, because that to me, I thought he had two terrible turnovers in the fourth quarter.
That's true.
And the grounding call. I think Jacksonville is maybe the one he threw for 345 and a couple of touchdowns. But Nico was amazing in that game. Yeah. He went for 150. That would be the closest one. And then this last game, it was Will Anderson, who was the best player on the field. He hadn't had to do that. And a lot of it is, I think, because the Texans team is better than it was last year. He hasn't had to, right? I think in the game Sunday, he didn't have to do more. I don't know where you all stand. You can jump in on this 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Clint, does it feel like to you this is a game where CJ has to pick it up and be the best player on the field on the road in Lambeau against, I think, arguably the best team you've played? Even though Minnesota's 5-0, that Minnesota was without Hockenson, was without Jordan Addison. This may be the best team you've played. Does it feel like this needs to be a game where CJ is potentially the dominant player?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
We've played one, in terms of going into the week leading up to a game, we didn't know the Minnesota game was going to go the way it was. We didn't even know the Vikings were even remotely close to as good as what people think they are now, what we think they are now. So the week leading up to the game, as you see it, I think this is a week where even if the run game is, which I hope the case is, the run game is complimentary and it's still an impact on the game, even with that, I think when you play an opponent like Green Bay.
On the road,
in Lambeau, it's going to be rowdy. You know, you've, as a quarterback that's leading the offense, like, you've got to be clean. You've got to make the plays when they're there. And then I'm not, look, I think CJ has the ability, obviously, to do these things. But it's almost like to date, we've been going, oh, that was a fast start. Oh, what happened in the third quarter? Oh, that was good adjustments at halftime. Well, what
happened in the second quarter?
What happened in the second quarter? Well, what happened in the fourth quarter because you threw two interceptions? You know, this is a game where, like, the bar for CJ Stroud is set extremely high. This is a game where I expect him to play at or above his ceiling. This is a game where you can't carelessly turn the football over. This is a game where the situational football at the end of the first half and possibly at the end of the football game has to be flawless. This is a game where when you start the first half and when you start the second half, like, you've got to be that old school CJ Stroud and get the football out so you can get a good feel for, is this pass rush going to get home or are my guys holding up pretty good? Can I hold it and drive the football down the field? Like, he's got to be the difference maker. He's got to, I like it this way because I think this is all encompassing. You taught me this way. He's got to be the fixer, right? He's got to be the fixer. If the O-line is struggling early, then he's got to be the one to get the football out. He's got to be the one to make quicker decisions. He's got to be the one
to make up for Nico Collins.
Yes.
He's got to be the one
to make plays with his feet and extend plays if he has to, right? I mean, there's just, you know, at the end of the first half, he's got to be the one that goes down there and gets a field goal or goes down there and gets a touchdown. It can't be, you know, the stall drives, like Bobby Slowick said, between the 40 and the 50-yard line and you know, one for one thing, ruining it another, it doesn't happen. Like, this is one of those games where C.J. Stroud playing at or above his ceiling is going to be the difference in the football game. Now, it's a football game. I mean, look, Green Bay could come out there and turn it over 3-4 times. They could do what you did against Minnesota and give up a touchdown on the opening drive, then turn around and throw an interception, a tip pass interception. You could be up 14-0. That changes the whole complexion of the game, right? But as we look at it right now, there's no doubt, Ron, that this has to be a game where the teams are pretty even. Everybody's got a good coach. For the most part, there was no penalties, not many penalties last week that I recall. I guess maybe late they could have got into some trouble. But, you know, you should have settled in. These are two comparable programs, comparable organizations. The difference has to be your special players have to be special.
Yeah, that's what this game feels like.
Yep.
This game feels like, it feels like if Jordan Love's the best player on the field, it feels like the Packers are going to win.
I agree.
And if it feels like CJ's the best player on the field, it feels like the Texans are going to win.
Are we going to give you flowers?
Like this doesn't feel like a game where, now anything can happen in the game, but it doesn't feel like a game where, like, Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon are just going to just go and be the complete reasons why, you know, these teams win. Now, it could happen, but I don't. But it doesn't feel
well. Right.
It doesn't feel like
that. Well, you want to talk about the Texans taking another step? Let Joe Mixon impact this. Let Joe Mixon in the run game, because I want to make sure I include the offensive line in there. I beat them up when they don't do it worth a damn. So when they do good, I want to make sure I give all due respect. If they're able to run the football, and I don't care what the yards look like. I mean, obviously it needs to be up there around 100, but if they're able to impact, if the run game's able to impact this game the way that they impacted last week's game, that's another step towards that Super Bowl caliber football team.
Yeah, they can run. And listen, teams, it's kind of a mixed bag with the Packers. They've given up games where they've had games where they've given up the run, and then they've had games where they've shut people down like they did, you know, Arizona and Tennessee. So we'll see there. I think this is one where I don't think 192 yards passing is going to cut it. Now I think he could have gone for more than that against the Patriots. I think that's what happened. Like, I don't think the offensive games that they had against, you know, 20 points is going to cut it. The games they've had against Buffalo, even though we threw for 300 yards, but, like, the turnovers, like, they got to put points on the board. This feels like a game, Clint, where, yes, I believe D'Amico's defense will do things and make some plays, but this feels like a game that's going to be played in the upper 20s, lower 30s. and you got to finish and make plays. And he's going to have to do it without his number one weapon, and Nico Collins.
Yeah.
And I do. I feel like this is a game where, hey, man, you know, defense really stepped up big time. Like, I don't think they can win this, 19-13 like that against the Bears or, you know, some things like that. I think they're, as you said, they're big players have to step up, and they don't have a bigger player than C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, Ron, I think the overall point, like, you're just not going to be able to ride the wave against Green Bay and just do the fundamentals right. Don't turn the football over. Keep the penalties down. And, you know, this is a good enough, talented enough football team, and they're well coached enough that, I mean, I'd say 60-70% of the opponents that they play, maybe not this year with the schedule that they've got, but I'm comfortable saying 50%. 50% of the opponents that you play, you can go out there and put this thing in cruise control and just don't make mistakes and win ball games. Hell, you can win some convincingly. Hell, the Texans have proven that they can go out there and put it in cruise control and drift off the road several times and hit speed bumps and do all kind of reckless stuff and still win ball games. This is a ball game where not only are you going to have to eliminate all the negatives, you're not going to be able to just sit in cruise control for four quarters and be a well-coached football team that does the little things right, that tackles well, that doesn't get penalties, that doesn't turn it over. This is a game where you're not going to win this game with that approach. There's going to take some put it on the table and go make plays, whether that's the offense or defense. Like, this has been a big pressure defense. So whether it's CJ or it's the overall defense, this is a game where there's going to have to be some major risk taken on one side or both sides of the football, and you're going to have to prove to win those situations.
This feels like more like the Bengals game from last year.
Yes,
or the Bucs game. Here from the text line, my feeling is they will plan on running the ball and throw when they have to on third down. We have yet to see a game where they cut CJ and the passing game loose. I don't know, CJ threw for 345 against the Jags. I mean,
I think there's been two or three games this year where they felt like they needed to cut CJ loose, but the pass protection wasn't there. Like, there were some issues there for one reason or another. So it's whether you agree they've turned them loose or not. It's not been a we feel really good about what we're doing across the board offensively, and CJ Stroud's gonna we're going to throw the sun buck 52 times with CJ Stroud to go win this game.
Yeah, we
haven't seen that yet.
I'm not sure what if it changed after this week, but coming into the game against the Patriots, they did lead the league in passing for a game. So yeah. I mean,
The crazy thing with that, Ron, they led the league in passing per game, and they were second in the league in time of possession, and they, for the most part of the year, they were the absolute worst, and I think it was by far on average third down was 10 plus.
And I was going to say, with all of those things, they're like 14th in total offense or in points. I mean, 14th in points.
Man.
And that is with 41.
Yeah.
That is with 41 being put on the board against the Patriots. It's got to end in points. And people are texting and talking about play calling will be a big effect on the game. Like, let's not overdo the play calling thing. Like, I know people were complaining about that from the Buffalo game. They threw it double the amount of times they ran it in the second half of a game. They led 17-3 at the half. Like, some of it is the decisions that he makes. And in this game, I think this feels like one where he's got to be the great player that we know he can be. And it should be a good game, because to me, this is one. I think the Packers are going to score. I'm not going to say they're going to just go crazy, but I think they're going to score. And if it's anything like the Minnesota game, you got to be able to answer. Now, some of that's just penalties and stuff in that game, but you got to be able to answer. So this feels like a game where you want to see the Texans going to have on the road against another contender with a really good quarterback. This feels like a game where CJ's going to have to be potentially the best player on the field. And I think he is better than Jordan Love, so it's damn sure something that can that can be the case. But he's going to have to me, be the biggest reason. All right.
He's going to have to be the biggest reason in several of these games coming down the pipe.
No, I agree.
This is the first one. We didn't know the Minnesota was going to be the way it was, but this is the first one
It's been amazing in the first six games. They could go 5-1, and you can really only look at one game to where he has been. Like, all right, that's the best player on the field.
Fair, yeah.
And there's an argument that Nico Collins was right there with him. But that's a testament to how better this team is. But this feels like one. On the road, you need your big dogs to come through. All right, we started this last week. A little stock up, stock down. Whose stock is up for the Texans? Whose stock is down? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Coming up here in the next segment, you'll hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. We'll let you hear what he has to say leading into this big matchup against Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. But it is Wednesday, and the segment that is sweeping the nation that you need to hear each and every week, stock up, stock down.
Yes!
There you go, and I'm going to let my man Tyler Milner take over here. Stock up, stock down, baby. Let's go. I got a good one.
Yeah, as you said, the game sweeping the nation. Definitely sweeping H-Town. Stock up, stock down. We're talking only Texans players heading into week 7, 5-1, going to Lambeau against the Packers. Gentlemen, as we approach week 7 here on a hump day, first question, Mr. Ron the Show Hughley.
Just Ron.
Mr. Ron the Show Hughley, stock up. For who on this Texans team? Who on this Texans squad are you buying stock in after 6 weeks of football?
I gotta go Joe Mixon here, and not just because of his performance.
The arrow's pointed up.
That won Tyler Mad Dog Monday. But his stock to me is going up, fellas, is because, like, his absence, and then when he returns, it is clear the importance of Joe Mixon.
I love Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon might be the second most important player on the team behind C.J. Stroud. You know, I would have thought, like, maybe, you know, Will or Danielle Hunter or Stingley. Stingley probably is still the answer just because what else you have there. But Joe Mixon, the two times that Joe Mixon has played a full game is the absolute best the offense has looked all season. Against the Colts, where he went off, he was AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and then he could have been it again when he returned in this game last week against the Patriots. So to me, his stock is going up just because when he doesn't play, the running game and the offense struggles to put up points and struggles overall. And then when you see him play, he's played two full games. It's been their best games offensively. So to me, Joe Mixon, and not just because of his production, but Joe Mixon and what it apparently his value, what he means to this team of importance is just skyrocketing because of what we've been able to see when he plays and when he doesn't.
I absolutely love the Joe Mixon call, Ron. The only thing for me is I'm glad that I maxed out as much stock as I could before the season started. I maxed you, man. It is without a doubt, when this offense is at its best, and right now at its best means Super Bowl caliber, it's with Joe Mixon toting the rock.
Yeah, they look different when he's not there.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. I love Joe Mixon as well. Old Dirty Red, our resident former NFL quarterback, Clint, who on the Texans team are you buying stock in heading into week 7?
Kalen Bullock. I was a little concerned about Kalen Bullock last week. Jimmy Ward was out. Kalen Bullock is in. Last week, I felt like versus the Patriots, the only way you lose that football game is if you make some kind of bonehead mistake. If you get your eyes in the wrong place, or if you're a safety and you for some reason are flat-footed and get ran by and Drake May throws it over your head, like we saw happen the week before. It was Jacksonville. It was Buffalo. It was Mac Hollins ran right by him in a quarter's coverage. You know, I thought that could be a real issue. So no Jimmy Ward, the veteran communicator, be where you're supposed to be extraordinaire, was out. And Kalen Bullock was in, had me a little bit concerned. But I should not have been concerned. Kalen Bullock goes out there And on the first on the interception, he shaded man, free safety, shaded over towards Ross's side. The quarterback overthrows the ball, boom, interception. And then later in the game, he's in a perfect spot. On a, I believe Azeez Al-Shaair punched a ball out for a fumble. He's in a perfect spot to go recover that fumble as well. So I'm going with Kalen Bullock. I was already high on him, and he's been fun to watch this year.
The arrows pointed up.
Yes, and it continued to point up Sunday. I like Kalen Bullock, boys.
No, yeah, good call. Hey, you're a part of two turnovers. That means he finds himself around the ball, leads the team in interceptions right now with two, and gets that fumble recovery too. So, yeah, big for him, especially with Jimmy Ward on the shelf.
So that's who the fellows are buying stock in on this Texans team heading into Week 7. We did stock up. That means we got to do the other side of this thing, stock down. And if you're just joining us on Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk show, it is The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. This is Stock Up, Stock Down. We do it every Wednesday regarding the Texans. We're on the show, Hughley. This time, give me who you got stock plummeting for on the Texans.
Third person here, Ron's stock down. I'm going to go Laremy Tunsil. And I said this yesterday, Clint, I think his days are numbered with the Texans. Not this year. I think this is going to be the last season for Laremy Tunsil. I think that they are. There is one person that sticks out like a sore thumb that doesn't seem to kind of operate with their way of going about business, and that's Laremy Tunsil.
Every week, though.
Now they're getting him having some injuries, so now we're getting to see Fisher go in, and there was no, and obviously we'll see more, but there was no blatant feel of, oh, God, he's killing us with Laremy Tunsil out. They can get out of his deal much easier after this year, and just the way he's playing, I get the feel that within the locker room, within the doors, that his act is kind of running thin. Like, it's just when you just think about the other guys they have in that locker room, it's hard to think that they are into his get down and are not tired of it. So to me, Laremy Tunsil stock down.
Boy, I tell you what, I couldn't agree more on that one. I like your call there, man. It's I think the biggest point, your biggest best point you made there is I think it's running thin. It's run its course.
Yep,
with a lot of guys, and I think it's not one of those blow it up kind of deals. All of a sudden, everybody's it's not that. It's just like, hey, that money's better spent elsewhere, and you can do better.
Yep.
All right, my fellow Baytonian, Dirty Red, real quick, your Texan or Texans that you feel the stock is just plummeting, going down for heading into Week 7.
Derek Stingley Jr. for me. I called this guy the key when the Texans drafted him a few years back. He has been really good in moments. He does have the extremely high ceiling that everybody hoped that you would have getting drafted number three overall. He does, at least this year, he's shown the ability so far to get through camp and start the season, get to the first third of a season healthy. So those aren't problems. But this is just a guy that if you look over a six-game span, I expect this guy to be a lockdown corner. And I think way too often early on in games, the lackadaisical play of just letting things happen underneath you, you know, the basic whip routes or twirl routes or whatever will he's been beat on those last week. The Kayvon Boutte touchdown throw over the top. I mean, Boutte's not a guy that catches go routes over Derek Stingley Jr. And we just say, well, it was just the game. It just happened. Like, that's
every corner gets beat.
That's not good, man. And you look across the season this year, I think there's been several games, including the preseason, there's been several games where wide receivers that shouldn't get behind Derek Stingley Jr. are getting behind Derek Stingley Jr. And I don't know if it's because he's guessing, because this team is such a pressure team. He's trying to play to the scheme and he's guessing, he's undercutting things. He's sitting heavy, he's sitting on routes. So they're beating him over the top. I don't know what it is. All I know is that it's inexcusable for that caliber corner. We got a cornerback, Ron, that literally they're showing man from jump and the safety is sitting between the hash and the numbers opposite him. They are just begging you to throw the go route, and Kayvon Boutte is running by you.
Drake May is laying it in.
Yeah, that's just – we've seen enough this year to where it just hasn't been up to snuff for Derek Stingley Jr., and the competition is fixing to get significantly better. And I think right now I don't feel as good as I would like to feel about Derek Stingley Jr.
in the role of just leaving him out there on an island. To me, I feel good about Derek Stingley Jr. It's just in the role of just trying to say, hey, man, you shut down that side of the field and we're going to shade our safety over to the other side. Like, I don't know that you can keep doing that. We're just going to blitz and blitz because we believe you're going to hold it down. I just don't.
Well, if we can't trust you to line up and take one of the New England Patriots receivers out of the game, like if we can't trust you to do that under a minute left in the first half, I don't know why we're playing man anyway, but we're playing man. Okay. The one person that we shouldn't be worried about playing man in a game at any point in time, especially versus the New England Patriots, is Derek Stingley Jr. And he gets toasted over the top by Kayvon. What was
Boutte.
It? Is it Kayvon? It starts with a K. Kayvon Boutte. Yeah, I mean, that just can't happen. So I am worried about Derek Stingley Jr. If we can't do that, yeah, I'm worried about it.
Maybe you're looking more worried than I am.
Think about the receivers. Think about the receivers that have gotten behind him this year.
I just don't think he should be just in the, hey man, we just gonna hold you down, man. You got it. You got that Stingley Island. I don't think that, and I feel like that's what they've been doing. All right, coming up, CJ Stroud, he speaks to the media. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as it is on Wednesday, let's head out to NRG and hear from the quarterback. Here's CJ Stroud live talking to the media.
This season, there's been like a lot of times where you've been able to like maneuver in the pocket and still be able to fire throws with velocity, like, you know, the one to step on the first drive. Able to maneuver, still get it out down to the sideline. What allowed you to consistently be able to make throws amidst chaos?
I would say, you know, just all the work I was able to put in with my trainers back in the off season down in LA. Also working with Clint here, who came from University of Texas, and he's my strength coach now, or one of our strength coaches. And man, just been able to like do some good movement stuff with him, get my core strong. So like, just the little things away from the field, I feel, from like what you see on Sunday, has been those little things just popping up now. So it's been cool to see it kind of pay off.
Excited for you to be able to play in there for the first time?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you dream as a kid to, you know, go play at this stadium, and it's a historical stadium. A lot of, you know, great games played in there, and, you know, to go for my first opportunity to be, you know, up there against a great team, you know, is going to be an honor, and I can't wait.
What's your relationship like with Jordan Love, and what do you think of him as a quarterback and everything about him?
Yeah, I think Jordan is a great dude. You know, I think he, you know, he's a great quarterback. He's definitely a friend of mine and somebody who, you know, I look up to. And I think the way he's handled his career has just been very professional, and, you know, just always has a good attitude, you know, waited his turn. And, you know, for him to be able to, you know, be able to play the way he's playing now, especially off of injury, I think it's just super dope.
You have done a really good job protecting the football, but also making these big chunk plays. We're aware of the Packers' takeaways. What's the foundation for you to protect the ball while also taking your shots and getting those chunk plays?
Yeah, I would say just execute and finish, you know, like execute our plays. I got to be accurate and, you know, really just, you know, understand that, you know, like, this team is known to keep, you know, their defense. Their defense kind of keeps their team in the game by getting turnovers. And they do a great job of that. You know, especially on the back end, got some really good DBs, and up front they play really well, and their backers are really solid. So, you know, another great challenge for me to try to be better with. You know, I feel like I've been kind of like a little sloppy, turn the ball over a little bit, but sometimes the ball doesn't roll your way, you know, but you got to take those shots, and you got to, you know, be aggressive to, you know, see what you can get away with and what you can't. So I don't regret any of the decisions I made, but I definitely know that, like, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. So I definitely know that this game I got to be very smart with the football and just, you know, take my shots when they come. But, you know, if they don't come, then, you know, just being smart with the football.
CJ, I know that you and Will have been close since draft night. How proud are you of him and the progress he continues to make and the accolades he's getting this week?
Man, I'm super proud of Will, you know, just to the person he is, not only just on the field but off, you know, how encouraging he has been, not only in my life but in just the locker room and, you know, his family and them just being so family-oriented and, you know, always showing everybody love. You know, my mom are very close. So I just think it's super dope that, you know, he's able to, you know, get what he deserves on the field, and he doesn't see a double team every play, you know. So I definitely love the fact that, you know, he came up with a big game, and I know, you know, he has a lot more coming for him, and, you know, I definitely know that, you know, he'll continue to be great.
If I could piggyback off that, when did you realize maybe during the offseason that he could or was going to take the next step in his game?
Yeah, I would say honestly, like, he's kind of like how I look at Nico. Like, he's always been great, but he just needed opportunities. You know, he did it in college and, you know, did in his rookie year. And so he just continues to get blessed with more opportunities. So I think he's just going to keep doing well, you know, as long as he gets his opportunities to do that. So I'm definitely just proud of him and, you know, what he's been able to do. And I know that he'll continue to do well for sure.
CJ, you talked to us about the season starting after week five, and then you all go into New England and put up those type of numbers that you all did. Well, did you see any difference in, you know, practice leading up to that game, and have you seen the difference in your teammates?
I would say just, like, the comfortability of just, like, owning the offense, just, on like, ironing out some details, just really being, like, just hard on yourself, look yourself in the mirror and to see what you can correct. And I feel like that's what we did the first 4 weeks. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, a lot of times, you know, as an offense, you know, like, you're judged on your execution and your numbers and your stats. And really, I mean, for us, it's really just your win. So, I mean, we've been good on that area. But, you know, we can always be better in those other areas. And it's going to be a consistent battle to get better at those things. But I definitely feel like, you know, we got better last week. And, you know, it's up to us to get better each and every day. And I think we took another step today as well.
What's the biggest difference between winning on the road, like at Ohio State and in the NFL? Like, what are the biggest differences to going and winning a road game?
That's a good question. Honestly, I would say just winning on the road in college is more so like chaos and like just like dealing with like crazy fans and, you know, like just, I don't know, just people just kind of like just like trying to throw you off a game. In the NFL, it's like the other team is trying to throw you off the game instead of necessarily like just like the crowd and their environment. And then in the NFL, it's kind of a little bit of both. I don't know if that makes sense, but I definitely feel like that was a big difference for me. Like, I feel like every game is like you playing against Georgia or like Penn State or, you know, one of these top teams on the field. And then on top of that, you're playing against the Penn State crowd, but it's just the NFL, so everything's a little ramped up. But yeah, I would say that's the difference.
You're listening to CJ Stroud as he meets with the media.
Even dating back to last year, like, you see the field really well. Not really a lot of times where you look confused. What is the biggest testament to that? Like, what allows you to always appear like you're seeing the game pretty well?
I mean, as you guys know, like, just film, you know, I watch a lot of film, so that definitely helps. And just, you know, the ability to kind of, you know, get the answers to the test before the test comes. So I definitely know that, you know, the defense can do things to try to throw you off. But, like, you know, the more that you're prepared for that, the better you'll go out there on Sunday and execute. So, you know, I'm just really trying to be hard on myself about just finding little nuances and little hitches to get, you know, a hump over, you know, the defenders and the other team.
So one of the things that they said on the broadcast on Sunday is that you told him you're already confident, but having Stephon here and Joe Mixon, they kind of even up that for you. Like, yeah, you have what it takes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Honestly, like, last year, you know, was super cool for me. And, you know, I'm not trying to harp on, you know, past things. But for me, it was just dope that you know, I was able to play well so young, you know, and so just, like, fresh, and really didn't know much about NFL life on the field or off. So just a lot of learning about that. But honestly, I would say when I got, when Steph and Joe came here, they were just like, man, like, you got it, bro. Like, you have what it takes, because, I mean, we've been around it, you know, these past couple of years, being around Burrow and Josh Allen. So, you know, and they're not comparing me to those guys, I don't think, but, you know, they're just telling me, like, I have that aura, I have that that way I carry myself, you know. And I thought that was pretty cool because I never really heard that before, especially with two guys who've been around some really successful quarterbacks. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Go back to Jordan and how he had to sit, wait, learn, start, and then the route that you went, started from day one. What do you think would have been the benefits of sitting and waiting as opposed to the pressures and immediate having to be productive on the field immediately?
Yeah, I would say, like, honestly, like, for me, I think God puts you in a situation or, you know, puts you through things, you know, for a specific reason. And I feel like maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. And for me, God thought that the best thing for me was just go out there and you know, play, you know, fail, you know, make mistakes. And, you know, I definitely, you know that my journey was a lot of those ups and downs. And, you know, I think, you know, everybody, you know, we have our own identity, our own names for a reason. So I definitely feel like it's been a blessing just to be able to, you know, learn my journey and then also look at his and, you know, look like, man, he's doing pretty well. So, you know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions is, like, no matter what route you're in or, like, you know, if that's early, you're playing early, you're getting early offers early, or if you're, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you'll get what you deserve. My dad used to always tell me, cream rises to the top. So I definitely, you know, still think about those type of things to this day. And, yeah, I feel like that was, like, maybe the biggest thing that I could just see from what your question asked.
Last two, Cody and then Sarge.
You and Dalton Schultz have been pretty key on some third downs. I mean, some big plays. Feels like you're pretty close on some more. Can you kind of give us a snapshot of what he does for the offense, both from a catching the ball perspective and then maybe some of the stuff that, you know, we don't see from a box score perspective with Dalton?
Yeah, I would say, man, he's like a coach on the field. Like, he helps me a ton with the run game, and, you know, he's intelligent. I can see him being like an OC one day, or, you know, he's so smart. So, you know, he's helping out Cade. He's helping out Joe. He's helping out, you know, the guys up front, making sure we're ID'd right. And, you know, he takes on a lot of responsibility that he doesn't really have to, but he does it, and he puts in the extra hours, you know. So, I tip my hat off to Dalton and be able to just do that. So, you know, it's a long season, man. Like, I know that, you know, we'll start connecting more, and I know that, you know, we'll start, you know, really just, you know, feeding off with each other. And, you know, our chemistry is really high. So we just got to get back to that and, you know, just go out there and have more fun.
CJ, a lot of people look at the numbers as far as the offense is concerned, your passing yards, touchdowns, and things like that. But how happy are you that you all have been able to cut down some of those pre-snap penalties and been able to sustain drives?
It's huge. You know, I think whenever we stay on the green or, like, you know, staying positive ahead of the sticks, like, man, it's hard for us to get off the field. And, you know, that's one thing we've been trying to just be better at is just, you know, not shooting ourselves in the foot. And I think last week we definitely took a step, especially, you know, like, in a away environment. It wasn't loud the whole game, but the beginning of it was. We were good with our sign operation, and, you know, it's another environment to test us again. And, you know, it's going to be a rocking crowd, and, you know, we can't wait. So we definitely just got to be smart and understand, you know, like, the more we can stay above the sticks and, you know, help each other out, the better we'll be off to get a dub.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud coming straight from NRG Stadium. Coming up next, Dirty's Daily, baby. Will Anderson, did he make it? The Texans, by the way, have had three players of the week in the first 5 weeks of the season. Did Will Anderson, big-time performance last week, did Will Anderson make it 4 of 6? I'll let you know next. And the Texans have a big-time playmaker returning. And D'Amico Ryans, your head coach, spoke about how much he expects him to play and contribute this weekend. I'll tell you who that is. We'll have the audio from the head coach. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.